We have been in a foundational series called We Could All Use a Little Bit More God. It's a series about the basics, and even though basics are basic, basics are never a one and done. Basics are always something that we need to be brushed up on, that need to be brushed up on, that need to be revisited, improved upon, contemplated on, and refocused. Basics are foundational, and we're only as strong as our foundation, correct? So it's always nice to return to subjects like these that we're talking about in this subject or in this series. We could all use just a little bit more God to deepen our relationship with God, to have a moment where we reflect and have a spiritual retreat, to slow down and to look at our development, to pause and refocus for the sole purpose of growing closer to God. Today we're talking about life, or we're talking about in step with the Spirit. So we can go on to the next one there. Yes, in step with the Spirit. And we're going to start by talking about life in the Spirit. There's a large section in Romans chapter 8 that has just a ton of reflections on our relationship with God. And specifically in our relationship and involvement with God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And what we're going to do is we're just going to read down through the chapter. And we're going to take some quick notes as we do. It's a pretty potent chapter. Actually, we'll just be doing like the first half, so don't get too worried. Starting in Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Let's write this down. As saved people, we are expected to be influenced and motivated by God's Holy Spirit. As saved people, we are expected to be influenced and motivated by God's Spirit, by God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. This is the expectation. The Holy Spirit's not just an option. He's not optional. He's the standard for God's people. And we should live our lives that are 100% influenced, 100% motivated by God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. Anything less than 100%, that wasn't God's plan. Think about what things you might do differently if this were the case, if we really lived where we are 100% motivated, 100% influenced by the Spirit. Think about things that you would do more often. Think about things that maybe you would do less or give up or totally abandon. If the Spirit was 100% of the influence and motivation behind everything we did, what things would we do different? And that might sound a bit radical, but tell me that that's not what's expected of us. You might be saying, "You're asking me to be a fanatic." No, I'm not asking. God's word dictates this. It's a big difference between just a guy like you asking something and God's word saying this is what is expected. As saved people, we are expected to be influenced and motivated by God's Holy Spirit. So we continue to read down, verse 5. "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." So let's write this down on that. Our thoughts are focused on what the Spirit wants. Our thoughts are focused on what the Spirit wants. Living by the Spirit means that our thoughts are focused on what He wants, that His desires are what our mind concentrates on and focuses on and contemplates. You know, if we were to catalog all the thoughts that we have in a day, in a 24-hour period, or even just an hour, or maybe even just within the last 5 minutes, what percentage of those thoughts would be focused on what the Spirit wants, on what the Spirit desires? Imagine how all of our lives would be different if this were the case. If every thought we would capture, and it would be about what the Spirit desires, not about what we want, not about what's going to advance us, what's going to move our agenda forward. But if every thought was about what does the Spirit desire, imagine what our church would look like if everyone here functioned that way. Imagine what our personal lives would look like. Imagine what your families would look like. Imagine what you would look like at work. Our thoughts are focused on what the Spirit wants. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Let's write this down. When the Spirit is in charge, we are in a mindset that can live in such a way that pleases God. And that brings life and peace. As Christians, as God's children, as those bought by the blood of Jesus, shouldn't our goal be to please God? This is a foundational series. We're probably not going to have anything super profound, but definitely things that we need to be reminded of and hear every once in a while. Yeah, absolutely. Our goal should be to please God, to submit to Christ's teachings, to obey the commands of God, to follow as closely as we can in Jesus' footsteps. That's the goal, church. And living by the Spirit, that's how we achieve that. Leaning on Him, depending on Him, listening to Him. He is our advocate. He reminds us of the teachings of Christ. He leads us in ways of righteousness. And He's living inside of everyone who has accepted Him as accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We're told that what should we do now? Those at Pentecost, well, repent and be baptized, every one of you, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of your sins. So every one of us who have been baptized into Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And He helps us to be able to please God. He puts us into a mindset that we can be able to please God. And that brings life and that brings peace. Our life has meaning and purpose. Our life has drive and significance. And we're at peace with God. A kind of peace that cannot be threatened by outside sources, no matter what's going on. When the Spirit's in charge, we are in a mindset that can live in a way that pleases God, and that brings life and peace. We continue the second half of verse 9. It says, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. There's a lot there, but just in simple, to encapsulate all that, God's Spirit in us confirms that we are in Christ and we are God's children. We are children of God. Isn't that nice? I believe if we were all fully transparent, which is always a dangerous thing, but if we were all fully transparent, I think we question our place with God on a regular basis. I think that's all of us. So if you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh man, he's talking right to me. No. I think that's every one of us. And I really believe if we were just transparent just for a moment to be able to share that, we would all go, wow, you too? Yeah, me too. And there are various triggers that lead to that. Sometimes it's something that we've done and we feel separate from God because we feel guilty for something we've done. We feel shame because of something we've done. And we feel like, I'm not a child of God. A child of God wouldn't act like that. A child of God wouldn't do that. Sometimes it's because we've been praying for something and that prayer has not come back answered yet. And so we question our standing with God. Well, if I had a relationship with God, then I probably would hear something. Doesn't the Bible say something about how the prayers of a righteous man, and I'm not hearing anything. So where am I standing with God? Is there something shaken there? Or we miss an opportunity because we didn't have the courage or the conviction to seize an opportunity that just walked in front of us, an open door, and we didn't walk through it. And we think, man, if I were a real Christian, I would have made that bold move. I would have acted boldly. I would have spoken up. I would have reached out. I would have done something out of my comfort zone, but I didn't. I guess I must not be in the right place with God. I think it's a wonderful thing that God's Spirit inside of us confirms with us that we belong to God, that we are children of God, even in times when we fall short, even in times when we're not walking the way we should, even in times when we feel distant. God's Spirit reassures us that we are saved by grace, not by works. That we're in a relationship with God, that we are God's children because of God's forgiveness and God's acceptance. And our standing with God really should not be anything we ever question, even though we do. We don't have to. And God's Spirit in us confirms with us that we are in Christ. And we are God's children. We aren't ruled by fear any longer, church. We're ruled by the promise of God, amen? I'm going to need help today. I'm not feeling 100%. That's why I've kind of stayed right here. So I ate a little something. We'll see how that goes. We're ruled by the promise of God. And the Spirit is a seal of that promise living inside of us. God's Spirit in us confirms that we are in Christ and we are children of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God just as in Christ God forgave you. There are so many different things I could have looked at today, and I just chose these two to focus in on. The second thing we're going to look at here is the Spirit dictates how we treat each other. The Spirit dictates how we treat each other. When we treat each other poorly, and this sentence sounds very elementary, but I wanted it to just be extremely clear. When we treat each other poorly, we make God's Spirit inside of us sad. Sounds like something would be like in a children's, you know, Bible or something, translation. You know, God's Spirit is personal. He's a he. He's not an it. He's not a thing. He's a person with emotions and feelings. And he can be grieved. And we're told in this passage, what makes him sad is when we treat each other poorly. When we're not great to each other, that grieves the Holy Spirit. He takes that personally because he knows that we're all made in God's image. And he was there, wasn't he? When we were made. Way back in Genesis. Wasn't that a plural? In our image? The Holy Spirit was there, so he knew firsthand every person was made in the image of God. He was there when God had made the decision. He was you know, the triune God, the Trinity. He was part of that decision to send Jesus even before the world was made. He was part of that decision. He knew how much mankind meant to God because he is God. And so sometimes I think we kind of divorce that. He knew that God loved the whole world, that he sent his only son. And Jesus died for us. And Jesus ascended to heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come and live inside his people. And he knows that Jesus' wish and his prayer was for the church to be one. That the church would be unified. That the church would be together. And we would love each other just the way that God has loved us. And so the Spirit takes it personally when that doesn't happen. The Spirit takes it personally when we treat each other with anything less than the love that God's had for us. It makes him sad. He grieves when we aren't one, when we aren't unified. And so we are to get rid of all malicious attitudes and actions toward each other. And instead be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. We're going to have a whole message in the series on that topic. Guys, we are going to let each other down. It's just the way it is. Things have been pretty good. Things have been pretty peaceful right now. I'm not naive. I mean, I know we're going to hurt each other sometime. And it's not because I want to. It's not because you want to. We're going to rub each other the wrong way. We're going to annoy each other. We're a family, as David said a few weeks ago. Sometimes, we'll be annoyed or frustrated or bothered by each other for significant reasons. Sometimes they're petty reasons. The wish of the Spirit is for us to not let that lead us to mean or nasty behavior, but that we would be led to be kind to each other, to be compassionate, and to forgive each other. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul says we're free, but we're not to use that freedom. We're not to abuse that freedom. And the specific example of what Paul brings up about the abuse of freedom is mistreating each other. That in opposed to abusing our freedom, we are to serve each other, love each other humbly. Because that covers all the commandments. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love God and you love your neighbor, then all of the law and the prophets hang on these two. You do these two things and you got it all covered. I remember reading that when I first became a Christian, when I first gave my life to Christ. I was like, man, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Well, you love God, you love others. Oh, that's it. That's pretty simple. You love God, you love others. It's not as simple as it sounds. It sounds simple. The concept is simple. The truth is that we have this internal conflict inside of each of us. We have our earthly self. And after we become a Christian, after the Holy Spirit comes and resides inside of us, now we've got the Holy Spirit combating against our earthly self. In such a way that we can't just do whatever we want to do and hope that it turns out okay. In fact, a lot of times when we do whatever we want to do, that often turns out not so okay, right? We must be led by the Spirit and do what He wants us to do. And the beauty of that is that if we are led by the Spirit, we will love God. If we're led by the Spirit and we follow Him and we keep in step with the Spirit, we will love each other. We will follow the teachings of Christ. We will obey the commands of God simply by letting the Spirit lead. So let's write this down. I can't do just whatever I want to do, straight from Scripture. I can't do just whatever I want to do. I can't just do whatever I want to do. There we go. I must be led by the Spirit in everything. Everything. We're in a time that I really believe that a huge door has been opened for God's church in the midst of all of the things that are going on. It is very important for us as God's people to connect with Him, to be in constant conversation with God, as we were talking last week about leaning on God, being in His Word, as we talked about the week before, and writing it on our hearts, having it on every thought, having it on everything we do. And in this series, we're hitting some simple, basic topics, but it's not a halfway hit. Every single one of these foundational elements to our relationship with God, to our faith, they need to be 100%. That's what's expected of us. When we're led by the Spirit and we walk with the Spirit, we are going to do things differently. Our world needs to see people who are doing things differently, who are living differently. Because the Spirit will manifest through our gifts. So a whole section I knocked out today, so I don't want to get myself distracted and go there. I can't just do whatever I want. I must be led by the Spirit in everything. Paul continues, he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I just scrolled, sorry. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, I still can't get to this new version. Always want to go patience until I learned it. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We've all, I think most of us, are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians chapter 5, but how many of us have connected that too, that the context fully is about how we treat each other? It's totally about us treating each other, and that's where he gets into talking about this list. Paul lists a number of things that lead to us treating each other poorly. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and if you go back through and you look at that list, you'll see that that is a list of things that totally go against loving God and loving your neighbor. And you can connect every one of those to something that is a way of abusing our relationship with each other, abusing our neighbor, taking advantage of our neighbor. And then he lists the famous fruit of the Spirit. I get annoyed when people use plurals for things that aren't plural. Like, how many of you guys heard people say, maybe you say it yourself, I want to go to Kroger's? Yeah. I always want to ask, okay, or why not just go to one? Why do you need to go around to, you know, two or three of them or whatever to make it, or Myers or whatever, you know? Is what? K. Roger? Okay. K. Roger? You can go to K. Roger. Just not K. Rogers. And I've expressed to you guys my pet peeve with the book of Revelation. Some people say the Revelations. There's no S on it. It's Revelation. And it matters to me because it makes a difference in how you understand the book. It's not if you understand as a bunch of revelations versus a revelation. That matters to me because it's what it is. It's, I like accuracy. Raul knows this. He's been in the other room enough to know I like accuracy. I like things to be right. And right here in Galatians chapter 5, how many of you guys have heard, maybe you've done it yourself, and I'm not taking stabs at you at all. We've called it the fruits of the Spirit. Like, really? Does that matter? Are you really just, you know, splitting hairs here? Well, it says it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. See, I think that matters because it's all part of a whole. The parts aren't individual wholes. They are all part of one whole together. All of these actions are the fruit. All of these, they are all qualities. It's not like here's an apple and here's an orange or here's a pineapple and a tomato, right? Because that's a fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience. They aren't fruits. They're all part of the fruit. They're all part of the whole. They're all qualities of the Spirit, singular Spirit. All those qualities point to him. They're all fruit of the Spirit. They're produce of what the Spirit is. They're products of what comes from God's Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. And so it matters because if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you're going to keep in step with him and live according to his standards, if we're going to be influenced and motivated by God's Spirit, if our thoughts are going to be focused on what the Spirit desires, if we're going to go and live a life that pleases God, a life that brings life and peace to us, then we're going to display the fruit of the Spirit in its wholeness, not the fruits of the Spirit in parts. It's not like, well, I'm good with the love and joy, but don't expect me to be gentle. It's just not who I am. I'm a gruff person. No, I'm sorry. It's the fruit. It's a package deal. It's not parts. Every single one of us who have the Holy Spirit living inside of us should reflect every single one of these qualities because it is a whole group. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's write this down. If I keep in step with the Spirit, I will work to display all of His qualities. All of His qualities. And how we interact with each other and how we interact with those that don't know Christ yet or haven't accepted Him as their Savior. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Life in the Spirit. As saved people, we are expected to be influenced and motivated by God's Holy Spirit. Our thoughts are focused on what the Spirit wants. When the Spirit is in charge, we will have a mindset that can live in a way that pleases God and that brings life and peace to us. God's Spirit in us confirms that we are in Christ and we are indeed God's children. The Spirit dictates how we treat each other. When we treat each other poorly, we make God's Spirit inside of us sad. I can't just do whatever I want to do. I must be led by the Spirit in everything. And if I keep in step with the Spirit, I will work to display all of His qualities. In step with the Spirit. Pray with me. Father, we, golly, are so very thankful for Your Spirit. Such a genius, genius way that You divided Yourself into three personalities, and yet none of the three are lacking to be 100% You. And I think it's just amazing that You can, as God the Father, who we pray to, who we turn to, over and supreme over all, and You became a man in the form of Jesus. That You came and You walked among us, that You get it, that you understand our weakness, You understand what humanity is like. You walked here on the dust of this earth You created. And as Jesus, You gave Your life for us. Father, in addition to that, You have made it possible that You could come and live inside Your children. In the form of the Holy Spirit. And do all of these amazing and wonderful things working inside of us to make us the people that You want us to be. The people that You purposed us to be. The people that You made us to be when You knit us together in our mother's wombs. Father, you're sheer genius in so many different ways. And today we just reflect on the genius of Your Holy Spirit. What an amazing gift. Father, help us to be grateful. Help us to be attentive. Help us to listen. Help us to be 100% motivated and influenced by Your Spirit living inside of us. That Your Spirit would help us to love You. That Your Spirit would help us to love each other and to love those outside the church. Father, we thank You so much for this amazing gift that You've given to us. Help us to not take it for granted. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.